good to be asked to speak over here again. I appreciate Brother Bill putting me in the eight. It's always a blessing anywhere you can go. I heard a fellow there says it don't matter how many songs you sing, I'm still going to talk at the same time. I thought that was a good thing. So I appreciate the invite, and really appreciate all you wonderful people coming over to Chapel Hill. We look forward to that. The room's full, the singing's pretty. Andy got us all fired up with the song. We all talked about it. We never heard that song sung that fast. Now everybody, I guess we're going to start trying to sing it that fast. So, like I say, I appreciate everything. I've placed that Bible there for a purpose. So when I point over here, we'll know what's going on. That's my Bible, and I put it there for a purpose. To get started with, well, first we want to read Psalms 150:6. I want to live my life by this, and I hope you will too after you hear it. It says, let everything that hath breath, so everything's breathing on this earth, praise the Lord. So that's what we want to do. That should be our lives. That should be our thoughts when we get up in the morning. Everybody that's got breath, everybody here is breathing and alive. Bless God every day of your life. And that's what we want to do now. We want to give Him the honor and praise for this meeting and an opportunity to come over and speak with you wonderful Christian people. Well, you know, that's the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. So that's what we need to be focusing on. So let's give Him praise this morning. You know, my lesson is on 1 Peter, the second chapter. But you know, to study the second chapter, we've got to read some of the first. So that's what we want to do first. We want to read from 23 to 25 of the first chapter. And we'll begin with the second chapter. It says in the 23rd verse, it says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass. All the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Powerful, powerful words, ain't it? But Peter come right into the second chapter, 1 Peter 2 and 1, he says, wherefore? Wherefore means for the above reason that we just read. We've been born again. We're going to pass from this life. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Now he says, wherefore? Lay aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking. You know, as Bill says in his commandments, he says, get away from these things. We're not going to live forever. The Word of God will live forever. You've been born again. So let's keep that in mind. Lay aside all these sins. And you know, in Ephesians 4, 2 and 1 tells us, 21 and 22, I mean, he says, if you so have been heard of Him and have been taught by Him, and as the truth is in Jesus, he says that you put off the former conversations of the old man, which are corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So he's telling us that we've been taught by Him, we've heard Him, and the truth is in Jesus Christ. So we put off the former conversations that we have. We lay aside these sins and stuff. You know, Peter also told us, you continue to go on through and read the 8 chapters of Brother Bill talked about. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, he says to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. He says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make it that you need to be unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar. But he who do these things shall never fall. Peter's starting over here, and the first Peter said, wherefore? You've been born again. Lay aside all these things. You know, we need to keep that in mind when Christian people, when we obey the gospel, we're not that perfect Christian yet. We're babes in Christ, and we'll see more about that. That's why Peter's giving us command here is to get away from these things. Romans 6, 3 through 6, fourth verse says, is the newness of life we got to follow. We got to walk. So if we don't lay aside our old self, are we a new creature? Are we a new person? No. So Peter's saying, lay aside these things, ain't it? Because we become a new man. We become a new person. Powerful words, ain't it? That's why he tells you in the second verse, he says, as newborn babes, we was baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. We come up out of the water. What are we? We're babes in Christ. Do we know everything? Can we stand up here and have lessons? When I first obeyed the gospel, I was scared to death to sing a song. If anybody asked me to pray, I would have fainted. I was a babe. Wasn't you? That's why we grow in the knowledge and the truth. We're new babes in Christ. Because we desire in the sincere miracle of the word that you may grow by. You know, if you're a newborn babe, as we've been told, you know, if a baby's hungry, I guarantee it lets you know it once. That's the way we ought to be about the word of God. You know, to be a Christian, I have a choice. I'm born again. I can sit still. I can sit there like a puddle of water, turn green as a gourd, can't I? I've been born again. I tasted the word. I'm a babe in Christ. I got a choice. I can walk over here and pick this up, or I can stay away from it. You want to be a babe in Christ from the day you obeyed the gospel till now? Don't touch it. Don't walk over and get it. God gives us that right. To study the Bible, you have to go pick that Bible up and open it, don't you? That's what we need to do as babes in Christ. We desire the sincere miracle of the Word. We should be tearing the pages up on that Bible. You can tell by a person's Bible over the years how it looks, can't you? That means they've touched that Bible constantly, huh? They've grown from the babe in Christ that we've been born again. We figured out we're going to die because we're the flower of the grass. And we figured out that the word of the Lord will endure forever. Now lay aside the things that we used to do. Because I'm a new man. I'm a new creature. I desire the sincere miracles of the word that I may grow by. Let's talk about that a minute. What does 2 Timothy 3 and 16 tell us? He says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instructions, and righteousness. So if I got a problem, I can correct myself. He says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But still, I have to get up and pick it up. It's a choice. All that we're reading about, that the word that endures forever, all then was given by God. I don't think we as human beings would ever get the magnitude of what we have in our hands till after we pass. I hope it's not so. You can't grow thereby and desire to seal the sincere of the milk of the word without studying to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and 16. And if we don't study, we don't transform. We stay babes in Christ. We've obeyed the gospel. It tells you in the third verse that if you've tasted it, you want more and more and more. You know, in Matthew 5 and 6 tells us, he says, blessed is he who hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, I'm going to stop right there just for a second. Maybe I won't lose my place. But this chapter study has really helped me a lot. I read the Bible. I read Peter all the time. But when I stopped and slowed down, I knew I had to talk on 2 Peter and Peter. Man, stuff is just went. Whew. I even woke up the other night thinking of stuff. That's because I don't want to stay here. I want to move here. because I can't teach someone else if I stay here. You know, the Bible tells us as members of the Lord's church, which we are, Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ. He says, move on to perfection. There's other things in the Christian life. That's why he says, wherefore lay aside everything. He tells us in Romans 12:1-2, he says, transform your minds. What do you transform it with? If we never take the time to walk over and pick it up. Or if we never sit at home and study that Bible. We can't transform. When we become babes in Christ, that's when we transform. What we think, where we go, how we pray, what we do at church, how do we take the Lord's Supper. We're changing. We're transforming. I didn't know all this the day I was baptized. But you got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know what? That's one of the simplest explaining scriptures they are. Because I hunger and I thirst constantly, as some people say. When I eat, I'm looking for the next meal. That's the way we ought to have in the Word of God. We desire the sincere milk of the Word. And you can't get the sincere milk if you don't study and rightly divide the Word of Truth. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us that. We got to want it, ain't it? But once we've tasted that Word of God that is wonderful and powerful, endures forever, we figure out we're not going to live for long, we want more. What's the benefits? What's the options have I got? It's all your choice. It's all my choice. No matter what we think, it's our choice. Do I walk over and pick up the Word of God, which lasts forever? Or do I obey the gospel and I sit still? Peter ain't teaching them that, is it? He said, get up, sincere the milk of Word. You've tasted some of it. You're babes in Christ. Grow to perfection with all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. Every problem you have, it says, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. You got a problem, it's in there. There's no reason why none of us shouldn't make it to heaven. No reason. Zero. We can't think of a reason why we shouldn't make it. Because we have the Bible sitting right beside us. And it says that's what makes you a perfect Christian. It's what we do. In the fourth verse, he tells us, to whom as a lively stone, disallowed indeed a man chosen of God and precious. He's talking about our Lord, didn't he? He was disallowed of man, wasn't he? But he was chosen of God and precious for us. That's the first. That's Christ is a living stone. He should be the whole centerpiece of what I do. Phil Burf tells us. He says, ye also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, offered up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're a lively stone. We should be on fire. How many of us, I know it's been years probably for all of us, that we've obeyed the gospel, that we was so on fire, wasn't we? We want anybody to know it, didn't we? And somebody, the preacher would say, we got a new convert here. David would just obey the gospel. He's smiling like a, you know, just smiling like a gopher eating salt brush, wouldn't he? And then we stay in the church for a little while, and the light starts going. That's what he's wanting us to guard against. Because he wants you to desire the most sincere milk of the Word, that light stays bright. What does he say in 1 John 1:7? He says, for if we walk in the light, what light is he talking about? Watch this. Right there. We walk in the light, as he's in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ continues cleanses us from all sin. Powerful words, eh? Powerful words. We're a spiritual house, a lively priesthood. Christ is the living stone. He is the stone. He is, we the members of the Lord's church, and He is the cornerstone. And He's alive and well because He died and He was raised for us. That's why it says in John 3:16, for God so loved what? You and I. That's the world. He gave His only begotten Son. Use it in them terms. Sometimes we misinterpreted the world part. He so loved you. He so loved David. Desire the sincere milk of the Word, because the Word will last forever. You know, when I die, my time's coming. Unless Jesus comes back, I'm going to stand before the Almighty God. Right there. The time we put in that is well spent. And God, everything you do, everything I do is recorded for us. We're a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Our lives should be lived according so man can glorify God. What was the first scripture that I talked on? Psalms 150:6. If you ain't got it wrote down, you need to write it. You need to remember it. You need to quote it. Everything that has breath. That's why we're here. When we obey the gospel, we become babes of Christ. It's a way of life. That's what He's trying to tell us. It's a way of life. It's not what we do. It's the way of life. When we get up every day of our lives, it's a way of life. That's what I want to do. Try that for 6 months and see if your life don't change. Because we know it's going, you know, we got problems, everybody does. But it sure does feel good to have the perfect love that casts out fear. 1 John 2:18. Now, it sure does feel good. You have to work on that. I just didn't get it when I come up out of the water. I still work on that. As long as I'm in this fleshly body, I'm a work in progress. That's why I correct myself, instructions and righteousness, that I can make it. Live our lives that others may glorify God. 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. We believe on Him, we believe on that Word, we won't be confounded. Because He's the chief cornerstone. This is His way. James says it's the perfect law of liberty. How many of us treat this the way we should? I'll say this, and I didn't say it at the first. Everything I do, everywhere I go, everything I say, is for me. Always. Always. Because to preach the gospel, you have to live the gospel. Well, that's why he's saying in the first verse again, lay aside all the sin. You're his spiritual house. We believe on him that we won't be confounded. He's the chief cornerstone that was prophesied in Isaiah 28:16. He still is. That's why he says in Hebrews 5:6-9, I think it is, I may miss a word or two, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. He became the author of eternal salvation. That's what Peter's telling us. He's telling these people here that were scattered abroad. He said, wherefore? Get away from these things. You're babes in Christ. You've tasted that the Word, because he's been born again, he said it would. And he's telling us the same. 1 Peter 7:2-7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. You know, I put this to this, and I hope I'm correct on this. But he's the head of the corner. He said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I'll build my church. What is that rock? That chief cornerstone that we believe in, which is Christ. We're members of the Lord's body. Powerful words, ain't it? That's why old John over there told us this. He said in 1 John 3:1, behold. Don't that make you happy when he says, behold, stand still, pay attention. I'm fixing to tell you something. He said, we can be called the sons of God because we're a member of that church. That Christ is the head of the corner. Wow. Wow. It's powerful words. And that's what we're trying to get there. If they didn't, you wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be here today. We're trying to give what we know to learn someone else, and someone else tells us. It's all come around in a four-letter word. What is that? Love. And number 8. He says, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. So the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to them that stumble at the word. But being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. So these people, the rock is offended. Can we say that today? Bring up that you're a member of the Church of Christ. They're offended. Because we try to follow the truth. It's like I talk to people, I say, hey, I'm not telling you this. I'm reading you this. This ain't my plan. That we have to be faithful, strong. That's why he tells you in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And it still is. It cuts me. Does it cut you? But you know, in the 2 Peter 9 verse tells us, it's to clear it up. He says, but you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Wow. That you should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he called us out of that through his son. Let's go back to the peculiar people. That's us. Because we have decided to take a stand. That's why they call us peculiar. We don't follow with the same. We don't go here. We don't do this. We don't dress like that. We take our dress code, the way we're supposed to think code, everything we're supposed to do in our lives code, we get it from all of the scriptures given by the inspiration of God. And for that reason, we're peculiar. We don't run with them. We live the truth. We walk in the light. We walk in the light. That's the path. See, God, all scripture is given by God. He sent that for us. That's the narrow path that they talk about in Matthew 7:13-14. Narrow is the way that leads to Christ. There it is. 1 Peter 2:10. He says, in which some time past you were not a people, now you're the people of God, which have not attained mercy, but have now attained mercy. Now, I believe this is talking to the Gentiles, because we was without Christ, was aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Christ came and died, broke down the middle wall partition. He made twain one new man. So there's no Jew, no Gentile. It's Christians. Christians is Christ-like. He came down on the cross that I may obey the former doctrine, Colossians 2:12. Because it's the operation of God. That's how you become born again. I'm not going to quote it. I want you to read it. Colossians 2:12. Powerful words. You know, you always hear Acts 2:38, Galatians 2:3-27, 22:16 of Acts. But read Galatians 2:12, and you'll see that we've got the chief rock to stand on. He's the head. 1 Peter 2:11. He said, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from the fleshly lust which war against your soul." Now he's come back telling us again. He said, "Get away from these things over here which lay aside malice, ill will, and all that stuff." Now he's talking about the flesh. You know, John talked about the flesh too, didn't he? 1 John 2:16 says, "All that's in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life." We got to get away from that because the world's not going to last. It's going to be done away with. Peter teaches that in the last chapter of 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. In the 18th verse of the 3rd chapter, he says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of God." That's what he wants us to do. Remember, over here is babes, is Christ, the sire, the sincere move of the word. That's the only way. When Christ came down here in Matthew 4:1-10, when he was tempted of the devil, what did he answer the devil with? The Word. How are we going to fight off the fleshly lust, the pride of life? These things he's talking about is with the Word and with prayer. That's what Peter's trying to say. He says you've got to fight off these things. Wherefore, you've been born again. You know you're going to pass, but the Word will endure forever. Revelation 20:11-15 tells us we're going to be judged by that Word. John said he saw all the dead stand before God. That was you and I, because John seen the end of time. He was there. So Christ died on the cross for us. Now he says, fight these lusts of the flesh and stuff. That's why we gotta stay faithful. We got to pray. We got to study. We got to meditate on the Word, as it tells you that in Timothy. Because if we don't, we won't be able to fight the fight to stay faithful unto death. Powerful words, man. 12. Having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, the words that speak evil doers of you, they may by your good works shall they behold a day of visitation. I'll come back to this. How many of us knows that when you bring up, you remember the Church of Christ, you physically get... That's okay. You tell me one person in the Bible, Peter, Paul, any of them, they wouldn't ridicule. That's why we lay aside this. We get into that Word that lasts forever. We stand firm for the truth, because the Bible tells us that we can do nothing against the truth but for it. That's the only thing that makes us free. Powerful words. So let our conversations be honest among the Gentiles. And he says in 13th verse. Now he changed gears just a little bit here in this chapter. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king or the supreme, unto governors, unto them were sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers, or for the praise of them that do well. Now, what is he talking about here? He's done changed over. He's telling these babes in Christ, these born-again people, lay aside all them sins, get away from the flesh, your lively stones, live according to God, and now he says, obey the laws of the land. We're peculiar. We're doing what we're supposed to do. We're pleasing God. He tells us what to do. And he also tells us in 1 Timothy 2:1. Pray for those in authority that we may lead a peaceable life, that we may serve God freely and thankfully. So that's what he wants us to do. Obey the laws of the land. And pray for them that we can meet out like this without harm. They'll enact laws according to that. Did we know that was in there? It hits me a lot. So we got to pray for these people that we may lead a quiet, peaceable life. Pleasing God is what it's all about, ain't it? Pleasing God. Doing what He tells us to do. We do the ordinances. And we can live peaceful. Nobody will bother us. That's why it's so important to pray for the rulers of the land. He says in the 15th verse, "For so is the will of God with well-doing, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So if we do it in the God's will, don't worry about it. We'll put them to silence because we're peculiar. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And the 16th verse tells us, "As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of magnificence, but a service of God." So what does that 16th verse say? We're free to serve God. Don't do it with ill will. Don't go around blowing off. Make sure that we're living in Christ, that we love people, and we want them to know the truth, and we want to teach them the gospel of Christ. I believe that's what Peter's saying here. Because we've changed a little. Because it goes right with the 17th verse. See if this don't answer that question. Honor all men. Love the brethren. Fear God. Honor the king. So that means that we should honor these people and try to show them which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because we've been born again. Remember, he told us this. Remember that Peter is a letter. So all this goes together just like a chain. In the 18th verse, he says this, "Service, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward." Now he's changed gears again. After we come from the rulers of land, now he's talking to us about our jobs. He says that be subject to them. Do what you're supposed to be doing to them, even the forward, the ones that's hard to get along with. You know, I've had one or two, ain't you? But we have to, kind of the old saying is, I hate to use it, I hope I'm not wrong, somebody get mad at me, is get over. I've had to do it a lot. Or one of the best ones, you can just bite your tongue. Hard to do, ain't it? 19 and 20 go together. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongly." You know, I've always been tired. If I've been ridiculed about the church or what I was doing, that always made me feel better. You know, it tells you that in Matthew. Blessed are those persecuted. No. He says, "This is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endureth grief, suffering wrongfully." But Peter's going to go a little further with this. Thanks, Peter. Listen to what he says. "For what glory is it if you're buffered for your faults and you take it patiently, but when you do well and suffer it, you take it patiently." This is suffer before God. So he put another stipulation there. Well, if somebody's doing me wrong, take it patiently. But if I'm doing good, I shouldn't have to suffer wrong, should I? But you will. But he said also take that patiently. Powerful words there. You know, someday our day will come. I've said this a bunch. In Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, it tells us this, that vengeance belongeth to Jesus. I believe that's why he wants us to act this way. Because it's not up to us. Look what Jesus done. He healed the sick, raised the dead, fed them, done everything he could do, taught them the gospel. What did he get? He was hung on the cross. So if anyone that's ever been here that's walked a perfect life, never done anything to anybody, vengeance belongs to him. That's why Peter says, take it patiently. The apostles did. You know, I've always been the type to say this, and if you disagree, we'll talk about it afterwards. I believe we have to be worthy to go through the gates. I believe that. I believe that. We're going to have stripes on the back to make it through. We've got to go through troubles, trials, tribulations. But he says in Revelation 2 and 10, "Be faithful unto death, I'll give you the crown of life." We can't give up. We're too close to the crown. We're one breath away from it. We're one breath away. Powerful words. That's why we have to study. It's a choice. It was my choice to walk over and pick that up and study it every day of my life. That Bible can sit there forever. It'll never learn you anything. It's what's inside of it. Here is the key to a Christian life. For even hereunto will you call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Read Hebrews 5, 6 through 9. Powerful words. I love to read that. Who did no sin, neither was a guile found in his mouth. Who when he revealed not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. We have to work on this. And the only way we can work on this is by transforming Romans 12, 1 through 2 to this. That's why he says, be patient as you suffer for doing well, because now he told us the example that Christ went through. He was revealed, he didn't reveal not. Jesus was the perfect man. You know, I've been where I've been revealed, and when the ears get red, the mouth opens. It's yours, but you have to work on it. We have to, like it says in the Old Testament, words fitly spoken is like pitchers of gold and silver. You know, when I first started in my Christianity from the babe up, you made me mad, I'll make you mad. I have to do that, because we're seeing that Peter said, you've been born again. Here's the word, it endures forever. This lasts forever. I'm going to give account. I'm going to get that mansion in heaven, John 14, 1 through 2, if I stay faithful unto this, unto death. But there got to be a willing mind. There got to be a desire, as Peter talked about, don't we? And then in the 25th verse, he says, for you were sheep going astray, now we're done returned to the shepherd, bishop, first servant. You've been born again. We went down in that water. We died just like Christ died. Did you know that? Death, burial, and resurrection. And what does that come out to be? It comes out to be a newness of life. Powerful words. Powerful words. In closing, I want to read this. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. He says, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. We've been born of the water and the spirit. Because when we tasted that good word of God, we know what he said to do. Colossians 2 and 12 says, it's the operation of God. I restored the body of sins. Acts 2, 38. Romans 6 and 4 tells us that I come up in the newness of life. So I got to put off, wherefore, the malice and all this, the worldly flesh. And as Brother Bill was talking about the commandments, that he says, lay aside all these things. But he also told us over there in 1 Peter, remember, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10, add to your faith that you won't fall. Then he says in 10th verse, he says, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. So if we don't get up, walk over there, we can't be renewed in knowledge. Like to the image of him that created him. Remember, Christ left us an example. Christian is a Christ-like person. We're born again Christians. Ephesians 4 and 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And the 24th verse tells us, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not the way I want to do it, because 2 Timothy knocks that in the head. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, he says, all scripture is given by God, that you can be profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, that the man of God may be perfect. So it's got to be the will of God to change us. That's why we're here. So the true righteousness lies right in front of us that we want to live. Colossians 4:6 tells us this, that your speech always will be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you are to answer every man. Our speech can't be seasoned with salt if we hadn't transformed the way we think, and it's by that. That's the salt he's talking about. That others may glorify God. Because that's why we're put here. That's why we're put here for. In closing, again, I'd like to say I appreciate everyone coming out and the opportunity. And I'd like to throw out a shout to a couple of people, J.D. Nash and Brandon Turner, for helping me with this. Without them, it wouldn't have been possible. And a lot of praying. So I appreciate the invite, and I'll turn it over to someone else.